Vous écoutez Art District. Et tout de suite, c'est Jazz Chronicles, animé par Michael Pelias, en direct de New York.
Michael Pelias for Jazz Chronicles from New York City. A program for Art District Radio. We're live here from New York City, and today's program will be celebrating the early Louis Armstrong, his early formation, and of course his influence. I have an idea of creating a program that really basically begins with both Armstrong on the trumpet and Duke Ellington on the piano. So our next five or six shows will be developing from these two greats, one on the trumpet, of course, again, Armstrong, and one for Ellington on the piano. And we will trace this development all the way to the modern times in terms of artists that are contemporary and actually still playing in New York City or had their great careers in New York City. So we've begun today with the West End Blues, you're hearing in the background, and where we opened, which is a 12-bar blues composition with an opening solo that has become famous in the jazz world. King Oliver wrote this, did the 12-bar blues composition, and this was a pretty amazing moment in the history of jazz. You know, this was a collective improvisation, an amazing rhythm section. Some of the people on the Hot Five, which is Armstrong's great early group that he put together from New Orleans that absolutely began to tour and played mostly in Chicago and then ultimately got to New York, included Kid Ory on the trombone, Johnny Dobbs on the clarinet, Johnny Saint-Cyr on guitar, and of course, partially the King Oliver influence and Clarence Williams. So anyway, today we're going to listen to many of Armstrong's compositions. I'm going to try to jump around a little bit in terms of from the 1928-29 period all the way up to 1947 to the complete Town Hall concert. However, let me begin by talking about the appreciation of Louis Armstrong, who was actually born in New Orleans, Louisiana on August 4th, 1901, even though Armstrong liked to say he was born on the 4th of July, 1901. But this was corrected through some archival work by a jazzologist many years ago. Armstrong passed away in July 6th of 1971. I had the honor to go to his street jazz funeral. I think there were close to 200,000 people on the streets in New Orleans in 1971, a very, very hot day, humid day, but nobody cared, right? This was really a great event, certainly one of the great personal experiences of my own in the music world. Anyway, we just listened to the West End Blues, again, very famous piece for syncopation, collective improvisation, and of course led us to a basic vocabulary of jazz improvisation. So this is a very classic piece in the Armstrong anthology, in his corpus, in his oeuvre, if you will. I'm going to move on now to go to another famous piece of his in which there's some vocalists. You know, and of course, you had Armstrong scatting here and a little bit of Jack Teagarden. But we're going to hear two different versions of the St. James Infirmary, which has come down as basically a jazz piece of the 1920s that became a very celebrated blues song, of which I think the best version is Danny Barker, for those of you that love the piece St. James Infirmary. But we're going to first listen to a 1928 early recording of Armstrong with the Hot Five of St. James Infirmary. So please listen, and I'll be back in a couple of minutes. Enjoy.
I went down to St. James Infirmary. Saw my baby there. She was stretched out on a long white table, so cold, so sweet, so fair. Let her go, let her go. God bless her. Wherever she may be, she can look this wide world over, but she'll never find a sweet man like me.
Bragging.
When I die, bury me in straight lace shoes. I want a box back coat and a Stetson hat.
John B., that is.
Put a $20 gold piece on my watch chain, so the boys will know that I died standing back.
So this is the great version of St. James Infirmary from the 1920s. With the Hot Five of Louis Armstrong and Jack Teagarden. And you get a sense of their incredible playful relationship in the way they play off of each other in this early version of this. We're going to be moving on to another version in a minute from 1947 with basically with Teagarden and Armstrong again, but a more, if you will, upbeat version. This is the most soulful, bluesy version, if you will, and something that probably Danny Barker, the great blues musician, listen to very carefully when he did his reworking of it. You know, a magnificent piece that I recommend that we're not going to play today, but may in the future in terms of blues and jazz. That's the 1928 version of St. James Infirmary. We're going to move along to the Town Hall version of 1947 in New York City with Jack Teagarden, especially one of his great collaborators over the years. A great jazz relationship, something worthy of a long, long book. So please enjoy. This is a much more upbeat version and something that will put us in a better mood going forward, a little bit less melancholic and a little more celebratory about one's life.
St. James Infirmary, the oldest blues I ever heard.
So again, that's the great 1947 Town Hall concert with Louis Armstrong and Jack Teagarden singing as well as playing. Yes, pretty amazing work, and a much more upbeat version, as I mentioned previously. I want to point out also that another New Orleanian, Herman Leonard, who was a great jazz photographer, has one of the most famous photographs of Armstrong with a trumpet in his lap that was taken during this period in 1947. So those of you that are jazz aficionados, interested in the images, Herman Leonard is a person certainly worth looking into, and someone who I think it made a major contribution to the history of jazz through images and photographs. He passed away a couple of years ago, and there was a beautiful jazz funeral and celebration for him in New Orleans. So we're going to move on here into actually back in time to 1929, the year of the Depression, actually kind of... 2 months before, 3 months before the crash, that Louis Armstrong does the famous song called Black and Blue. Why am I so black and blue? And this is the original version that he did many variations on. It became a kind of anthem from Armstrong about the civil rights movement and about what it meant to be black in the United States. And also, maybe you could be looking at the work of Ralph Ellison, especially his novel, The Invisible Man, in which, you know, we begin to see someone who feels like a nothing in this kind of 1950s capitalist world, but really just even more so in the 1920s before the Depression, right? So this is a very interesting moment in Armstrong's career. I think he began to understand the way blacks were treated in a very different way down south. I know he had many experiences with the police. He certainly hung around Storyville, which was the red light district of the 1910s and 20s. He delivered coal, actually, to the Storyville complex. And I can also add that he was sort of adopted by the Kanofsky family, a Jewish family in New Orleans who basically protected Louis Armstrong and kept him going for many, many years. And the influence of this family is still felt today, where they give instruments to students, young people who want to learn how to play jazz and become jazz musicians. So it's a very interesting side history around this black and blue and this period in Armstrong's life. He was actually at 11 years old, sort of adopted by the Karnofsky families. For those of you who don't know, Louis Armstrong's mother actually worked in Storyville. She was a prostitute, unfortunately. Louis basically considered the Karnofskys his second family, those who really protected him and kept him alive and in sort of in the right direction. Of course, Louis ultimately left the South, which was good, Chicago, New York, and ended up in Corona, Queens. But let's listen to this great piece, Black and Blue, one of my favorites of his, because it's not only soulful, but it's so prescient even today with the Black Lives Matter and other social movements around the questions of race, and especially the race of the Afro-American, Afro-Caribbeans in the United States. Thank you.
the bed. Spring corn has led. Feel like old Ned. Wish I was dead. All my life through, I've been so black and blue. Even the mouse ran from my house. They laugh at you and scorn you too. What did I do then to be so black and blue? Oh, I'm white inside, but that don't help my case. Cause I can't hide what is in my bed. How will it end? Ain't got a friend. My only sin is in my skin. What did I do to be so black and blue?
One of Louis Armstrong's great social statements. Pretty amazing. And again, this was 1929 that he did many, many versions of. Maybe in a later program we'll play another one of his going forward. We're going to continue here with very upbeat. I want to kind of end today's program with a version of Summertime with Ella Fitzgerald, one of his great partners, vocal partners and scat partners in the middle part of his career, and something that most people do know about, but this is a special version of Summertime. Of course, Summertime is written by George Gershwin for the opera Porgy and Bess, a very popular opera set in Charleston, South Carolina. And something that will ultimately, considered one of the great jazz pieces put to stage and to historical narrative about what happened in certain places down south. Something that we're living through today. So that it has a lot of resonance as well. But Summertime comes from, written by, famous song by George Gershwin. And we're going to listen to the Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong version of this and end on a very positive note today. Thank you very much. I'm going to come back to Armstrong in later programs. I know that our district radio is running a series on Armstrong's previously unpublished work, unheard of work, and we will continue with more analysis of his work and also show some of the social effects of Louis Armstrong as a both figure in the history of jazz as well as a player, a virtuoso player of the trumpet. I also will begin to trace the trumpet of Armstrong into the modern era, particularly with the work of Clifford Brown and then the Miles Davis, Dizzy Gillespie moment in the history of the trumpet all the way up to Nicholas Payton today. So anyway, just going back one second to Black and Blue, again, I recommend reading Invisible Man while listening to that. It's a wonderful way of learning both music, harmony, composition, arrangement, alongside of the written text or a great novel written by Ralph Ellison of the Black's presence in the world. So we're going to go ahead with the Summertime, and thank you very much, and I'll give a closing remark after you listen to Summertime.
and the cotton is high.
These mornings you gonna rise up singing. Yes, you spread your wings and you take to the sky. But till that morning, there's nothing can harm you. Yes, with Daddy and Mommy standing by.
Fish are jumping and the cotton is high. Oh, your daddy's rich and your ma is good-looking.
Yes, and so thank you very much for listening. As Louis Armstrong would say, good evening, everybody. And I thank you again for listening. And this is the Jazz Chronicles from New York City with Michael Pelias for Jazz Art District Radio. Thank you again. We'll be back with maybe an autumn song with Armstrong next time, as well as the beginning of a history of the piano from Duke Ellington forward.
Grâce à Michael Pelias en direct de New York, vous venez d'avoir un petit aperçu du jazz new-yorkais et c'était bien sympathique. C'était donc Jazz Chronicles avec Michael Pelias et je vous invite maintenant à découvrir la suite de nos programmes sur Art District.